And in fact, that's the title of my message this morning, that he's the one. And I remind
he's
you,
the one.
A couple years ago, glory to God, somebody give me water, I appreciate it. A couple years ago, I was watching the, thank you. There was one of my favorite movies I used to watch, and I sit there and watch it, but I kept saying, these are principles about God, really. But they were putting him in a human form.
Hey, Francie. How are you?
And if y'all remember the movies that were called The Matrix,
yeah.
And they kept saying that he's the one. And so they had spent their time, their life, and then where they were and where the world was at this time is that they were looking for the one. But I'm so glad we don't have to spend our time looking for the one, because the one was looking for us. And the one came to us, and he came to us in his birth. If y'all know, we celebrate Christmas, and we use December 25th, and we're not really sure if that was in fact the date and the time. It's just a day and a time that we chose to use as that celebrating day. Okay, so I don't think the date is really important. What is important is that he lived and that he was born. And that he was born to die, to live again. And it took me all of my theological studies to understand and figure out what that really meant. And, you know, why he had to go through it. And why the whole purpose. But what was so great about it is that God had a plan all the way from the beginning.
Church.
And so with a plan in place, we're just living in a time of fulfillment. Although I know we don't necessarily think that everything is great, but we are in a time of fulfillment. Those of us that have opened our hearts, our minds, because he said, whosoever will, which means it was open to everybody. Okay, so there is no exclusivity that exists here in the kingdom. It doesn't. Because he said, whosoever will, which means it's your will that needs to be in line with what he wants to do. So that he can become the one in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the one, as I watched the Matrix movie, could do all of the things that he was there to defend the people and to kind of get them back on target and take over all of the wicked agents that were existing in the world. And how many know we got a whole lot of demonic agents operating in our world today? But thank God for the one coming into our lives. So I'm going to finish on that this morning. I want to start just hoping that all of you, as while we're in this season, to really put our trust and our confidence. I'm going to minister to myself, because I even too need to hear that and be in position. And I'm grateful, but I want to take a minute before I go any further. The harvest is putting on a toy drive, and it's being run by our women of war. They've taken the lead on this, but again, this is a harvest thing, and we're toy driving, so I know many of you may have brought some items with you today. I dumped mine under the Christmas tree this morning, but we're going to take them out. We're going to put them up so that they can be wrapped and prepared.
Anything
in fact, so I want to share with you, if you have gifts, and I also want to talk to those of you that may be tuning in, if you're watching via YouTube or via Facebook, we ask that on December 14th, Ms. Jones will be collecting those gifts, I believe, on that day.
She'll be outside.
She will be outside out front here to drive through the car line for anybody that want to drop off things that day. So I'm taking the liberty to pour this into my message before I get started in my message, so that we can talk to the people that are watching via the live broadcasting. So hopefully you guys will participate too. This is a chance for us to give back. We're giving back to the community and families that attend Harvest Christian Academy and some of the things that we do here in the community. And so it's a give back opportunity for us. And so we're asking anybody that can, you know, to spend a couple of dollars, make some child, some young person happy, put a smile on their face, because they got a gift. Amen. That's what this is about. And then, you know, because I'm going to talk a little bit more, because we all know we got the greatest gift of all.
Right.
The greatest gift of all was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I gave my only begotten Son, the one. He gave that to all of us. And so I got to tell you something. Whether I never, ever, ever get a gift again, that one has done it all. It changed my life, and it can change your life. And so I invite you to receive that gift, and that's the gift we'll be offering along with the personal and physical gifts that we give to each and every child. Amen? And so just another opportunity for us to be a voice within the community and here at the school to be in the people's lives. And, you know, again, that's what we choose to do. So I'm asking, if you brought some today, bring it in. You know, we're going to make sure that if you did bring anything, get some in line for the 14th. Or you can stop by here all through the week, leaving them at the office. Lady A will be at the office. You know, we can do it there. That's just another drop-off place. Amen? So I got that out of the way, and I thought that was important for me to do. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And that one I'm coming out of the New King James. And then I'm going to switch to John chapter 1. And of course, I'm going to be using my Message Bible, which I learned to love. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9. This is out of the New King James. I'm on the screen already. A little faster. Hallelujah. That's good. Verse 6. And it says to us, for unto us Christ is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
Yes!
This was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah many, 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 many years before Jesus ever appeared on the earth. And I'm sharing that because I think it's so important, because I love, this is one of the things I want to talk for those that dispute and want to be critical of the Bible. And I will share with you, it's impossible for there to be a conspiracy, because you cannot, thousands of years later, and some without books and material, have people the same thing.
So it's input one or two.
With 100% accuracy. Did you hear it said that it said the government will be upon his shoulders? So I want to help all those that are concerned and worried about what's happening and how it's going to happen next season or whatever. I don't think none of that matters. I think what matters is God is on the throne, and God is still in control. So I want to remind everybody for those things. Amen? But it says he was born and the son is given. That's the gift that we have today. That was the gift that was given to us. He said that I've given my only begotten son. He commits to that and says it because he sees it happening in his day. John chapter 3, verse 16. Right? But I want to take y'all back to chapter 1. And remember, the Message Bible is about a conversation. And I love sharing this because I believe we live in the day where people would prefer not to be preached to, but have a conversation. Amen. There's something that they could relate to and something that they could understand, as opposed to sometimes using some language and verbiage that is maybe above their head, even some studies of the Word of God may take them into a different place. So I love breaking it down. I love sharing what God is doing and what he has done. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. And I'm going to read chapter 1, And I'm down to about verse 5 initially. And it says, the Word was first. The Word was present to God. And God presented the Word, and the Word was God. In readiness for God, from day one, everything was created through Him. And not one thing came into being without Him. And what came into existence was life. And the life was the light to live by. Somebody shout hallelujah. The light blazed out of darkness, and darkness could not put it out. Amen, amen. So I want y'all to understand that light we're talking about was the gift, was the one, was God Himself. That now He said the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh. In other words, by the way, said the Word was in the beginning. So I want to talk to you because we look for, when I look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right, the gospel, we see each of them present Christ in a different way. Okay, three of them present genealogy. Genealogy has to do with your history, from your mama, your grandfather, and your father's father, to all the way down the line to the history of who you are, maybe where you came from, or what land, or where the area, right? And so everybody has one. At the end of the day, all of us will look back to that.
We can color match.
Right?
Like this,
I don't know about you, but my daughter chose to send me a gift to the 23andMe. You know, you take these tests and the chromosome, and it comes back. You get some idea of your history and who you are. You can start building your tree, your family tree. And so there's some things
that
you discover that your mama didn't tell you. It's amazing about the human races, particularly us that are in America. We'll find out, okay, because American people are made up of a whole lot of different people. When you start doing things like the 23andMe, you will discover that, you know, you got a whole lot of relatives that you didn't know or thought you had, right? But it's amazing because at the end of the day, really none of that matters. What matters to me is so there's a human race, and this is the race that God came back for. He said, I created you in my image. I created he, them, male and female, two models. And then these models that he created, he also put in a mechanism that they would recreate to generate. So out of two, one form, here's what I love, out of one being formed, but two being present, we now have 8.2 billion people on the earth. That's amazing because how did that all happen? It happened through the multiplicity effect of how he put in life. But he said something. He said he is the light unto life of men. In other words, what we needed to be guided by, and I'm going to use this metaphor of a boat. Okay, I don't know if you've been out to, anybody been out to sea. When you're out to sea, all you see is water, depending on how far out you are. You cannot visualize land until you're within a certain proximity of land. Literally, you know, you've got to be about 50, I don't know, I think it's about 50 miles you may be able to see, if that. Okay, but if you out there that far out, there's a possibility that you see nothing. So there was a time that as the ships are being guided, and the reason they needed their navigation and the, what's the thing called? Compass. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jeff. The compass to point them in the direction in which they're supposed to be going, north, south, east, or west. But based on where the place you want to land at, that's the direction you need to go because it's there in that direction, somewhat, right? But they had something called a lighthouse. And the lighthouse was a time and a place that would help guide them, particularly through areas that were closer to land and that became dangerous. so that they didn't run ashore and hit rocks and everything. So the lighthouse would be a guide to these ships out in the dark sea. Somebody will get this in a minute. Because the light that I'm talking about is the light unto life, the man, the one that came for you and I. He came to be a light unto our lives so that we have something to be guided by. Now the most important thing is that I love about this is that it's not a secret that it was going to be dark. So this is why I'm trying to help people because, see, we want to not make God God because we got to deal with darkness. But darkness, he said, this darkness couldn't comprehend this light of life that he was, and he couldn't understand it. But I also know this. When light shows up, darkness is the smell. It has to flee. I don't know about you, you ever walked into a dark room, and instantly when you cut the light on, darkness is gone. It can't stay. It has to go. Now, I've also noticed something else. When light is shining on something, when light is shining on something, darkness tries to create a shadow behind you or on something, right? The shadow, but the light is on you. So behind it, where light may not be beaming on, it tries to creep. So darkness tries to creep in, although it can't take place. I want you to hear this because, see, this is why there's a constant struggle that you need the one, the light of the life of men to be upon you. And so he doesn't have the beginning or end. And so it says that he was in the beginning. And so, and if we look at this in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it presents us creation and existence. And God speaks to the word and it happens. And heavens and earth and oceans and streams and trees and grass and birds and fish and animals and humans. The very last thing that he says is the very first thing that was on his mind. Well, y'all not hearing me. Can I tell you? Had he not done everything else that he had done first, you and I would not be able to live. Everything that he did in the order that he did it within was all in preparation for life for you. Because he knew he was going to create us in his image, but he also knew that there was someone that was dispelled out of heaven. By the way, sin did not happen on the earth first. I know y'all saw Adam and Eve, but they weren't the first ones to do it. The first sin happened in heaven by an angel called Lucifer. And he was kicked out of heaven. And he fell like lightning. I don't know how fast lightning is, right? It's fast. He fell like lightning. And he happened to hit a place called earth. So he was here, and when Jesus showed up, he said, the place is full, is void, and full of darkness. And then he said, so what happens when light shows up? Darkness is dispelled. So he shows up, and he starts creating, and he starts speaking, because I want you to understand how powerful the word is. That which didn't exist exists now, and everything that can exist will exist through him. God help me. So he speaks his deliberately parallel opening words of Genesis. John presents God and speaks. This is where I want to go to today. Speaking salvation into existence. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because this is so important to you and I. Because had salvation not been spoken and brought into existence, it didn't exist before. But he's bringing salvation in before Adam and Eve ever sinned. Now I'm talking about a glorious God that already has in preparation. It's almost like jumping out of a plane. If you do that, but you don't have a parachute, the chances are you may not make it. More than likely, 90%, you won't. But with a parachute, your chances change greatly, right? And that's like, so God is like that. He presents, it's a bad situation, but he has a fall zone in place to protect you. And so that's the one who came, and salvation is that very thing that is being put in place, and that's where we're going to go into existence. The time God's word is spoken on the human, from the entry that enters history into the person of Jesus. Jesus speaks the word, and it happens. Forgiveness and judgment, healing and illumination, mercy and grace, joy and love, freedom and resurrection. Everything broken and fallen, sinful and diseased is called into salvation. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everything that we now experience and exist into the world was called into salvation. That is the greatest gift of all. And it all was in him. The Bible tells me that he was full of grace and mercy. No, grace and truth. Excuse me. Grace and truth. And I thought, grace, unmerited favor. The grace is necessary. By the way, grace is the first word. And I don't want anybody to get this confused, because I love grace and appreciate grace. But I'm also concerned when we talk about grace that people will have this idea of what I call greasy grace. So I'm going to help y'all out with what I mean by greasy grace. Greasy grace is because we know that God has grace and we know God has mercy, we do anything and then we plead on his grace. It's almost like that, God, if you get me out of this, I won't do it again, only to go back in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I believe there's people that will play on that, but the problem with that is nobody knows the time or the hour. I'm not saying you're struggling with something, so listen to me. Don't get this confused. Because here's what I'm going to say. If you're struggling with something and you're working on it, I want you to keep working. Or you didn't hear me. No, I did not give anybody a license to do something. I gave them a license to keep moving forward. Because grace will cause you to move forward. Grace, that I know his love and his mercy was in there for me now, will cause me to get to the place where I will change and turn. Remember, the Bible doesn't say anywhere, stop doing this, stop doing that. It doesn't say that. What it does say is as you get into your relationship with God, there's some things you won't want to do anymore. You will stop.
That's true.
Because why? His grace and his mercy, and then you're conscious. Oh yeah, that wasn't that thing he gave us. Okay? We'll start to play. And I share all of this because salvation, the one, brought salvation into the world. But he didn't bring salvation. Well, y'all, he concluded it and it was finished at the cross. But salvation came when he spoke into the world. It was already here. How many know there's nothing new under the sun? Everything has to be discovered. It's already here. So he brought it to fulfillment at Calvary. And I know I'm talking about birth and his being born, and we're talking about celebrating Christmas, and Christmas is about the birth of Christ, right? But of course, we changed all of that because, you know, we didn't want to talk about Christ, so we made it about a fat guy in a red suit, right? And going down chimneys. I mean, I went to Miami and there was no houses with chimneys. And I didn't think a sleigh would do pretty good or wouldn't do too well in 80 degree weather because there was no snow. But I just share about all the images we place and how we do to convert the minds of people. And I want to bring us back into he is the one. And I use the movie, The One, because I watched them looking for all these things and it kind of became computerized with codes and you know, X's and O's and all of this thing. And this is actually where we are today with all those things happening. But again, none of this is greater than God. I know it's a little challenging with AI and all the artificial intelligence and all the stuff that's going on. But I want to remind people to keep looking through the lens of God. God is well aware of what's here. It's not a secret to him. My question is, what do you know about him so that you can apply it to wherever you are? Hello? Everywhere, God is in everything. There's nothing that was not created by him. The difference is, what are you aware of and knowing how to operate within it, by him, through him, for him? Amen? So listen, this is, so we enter into this person. Jesus speaks the word and it happens. And forgiveness is now dealt with. Judgment is now dealt with. Healing is present. And illumination, in other words, the light comes on. And minds open up and ideas come into play. So you can hear, you can see. And so I want to remind us that the one has come for you and I. My question is, how much dependency are you placing on? And I also would say, putting a demand. Where there's no demand and no expectation, then nothing will happen. Faith without works is dead. When I believe something, you will find me doing the something I believe. Although it has yet to happen. For 25 years, I was working on getting to this place. For 20 years, I believed that God had a better place for me to live, to operate in.
Yeah.
But I started in an abortion clinic. Somebody said, what? You started in a, yeah, I started in a place that was death. And I now, we opened the door and turned it into a place of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting because, listen, yeah, women came back that had experienced the, when it was this other operation, and they came back now to repent and thank God for another opportunity. Somebody shout hallelujah. Stop making them bad. They came back and they came back and did only to repent to get restored for a new place and a new time and a new position in their lives. What a great God. But I messed up and you messed up. Yet he put salvation in place to save us. To bring us back around, to bring us back into alignment where he would desire us to be walking with him. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
So as we celebrate this holiday season, let me remind us, I know we've heard the cliche that the season, he's the reason for the season and all that. But my question is, do you believe that? Because, see, I don't have to, if you really believe that, it won't be about, you know, us just celebrating him on December. Okay, I need to know, can I get you to celebrate him on January 8th? Can I get you to celebrate him in June? Can I get you to celebrate him in September? Can I get you to celebrate him again in October? Oh, glory to God. Can I get you to understand that he is King and he is Lord over everything, even in November? Oh, no, we're getting down to the end of the year. Things get a little bit tight, you know, but is he still God? That's what I want to remind us of. He's still the one. He's still the one. He's still in place. And so he said he's walking in truth and he is grace. He's full of grace and truth. And as I was dealing with that, grace is unmerited favor. And so I need y'all to know something. His grace is sufficient for you. In other words, there's some things that he has not made 100% right in your life. Hello, am I the only person in here that ain't perfect? Thank you for raising your hand back there. Thank you for raising your hand. Now we identify that we're not perfect, right? But I accept his grace. But I'm not relying on greasy grace. In other words, I'm trusting that I'm going to try to walk this thing out. I'm going to keep taking steps towards him. Even though I'm being fought on this end, and I'm being fought from that side, I mean, and some jumped on my back, You know, y'all, come on, somebody. But by the grace of God. Now, that's that. And I get you up to the next one. So the grace of God, I can keep moving. Right? I got a weight on me. Anybody know something about a weight? When the weight get on you, you was standing upright. But when weight get on you, you might bend over. Right? You ain't on the ground yet. So if you change your grace, it's sufficient for you. But he said something else. He's full of grace and truth. Oh, there we go. So although his grace will allow me to get the truth, it is truth that will cause me to stand upright. It is truth that will start to change things in my life. Because now when I walk into truth, lies, filthiness, deceit, none of that, darkness, can stand up in truth. But I can only get that as I go towards the one. The more I get into the more the one get into me. And the more he gets into me, the more upright I start to stand. So remember I told you, he didn't say stop anything. So watch this. I'm giving you my natural illustration. Water, right? Where the water at? It's in the bottle, right? But I'm going to take this water. Y'all remember it was up to there. It's gone. Where that water at? It's in me. So now that water that's in me can now have its effect. Somebody get that in there. It can have its effect on my life because it's now in me. Oh, somebody.
Right.
You can do the same thing, but you got to get him in you.
Right.
So that's the gift you got to receive. There is nothing worse than receiving a gift and not receiving it. Let me say that again. There is nothing worse than having a gift given to you out of love, and you not open. You know how many
That's
gifts
right.
have gone unopened in our world? What a shame.
Yeah.
Right? But I thank God that God is full of grace and truth. That because of his grace, he still gave it. And he's still giving it. And it brought some salvation. Look, I described some of these things. So salvation brought forgiveness into the world. Salvation dealt with judgment. Oh, salvation dealt with healing. You know, sickness and disease is coming on the earth. Glory to God. But I'm healed today. Glory to God. I'm excited to be able to say my mother, how many years now? It's been about 7, 8 years ago, my mother was diagnosed with lung cancer. And my mother never smoked. Now my father did, so it was, now we know where that came from, right? But today, she said, you know, Doug, I went, they said they can't find it. Mom, tell them to stop looking. It ain't there. Healing is now taking place. Right? So, I don't know about you. I know you're going to say, and she did. She did all the processing. You know, they call it a miracle drug. Now, hold it. I'm sharing this with you. They call it the miracle pill. Who created the pill? So, all of the people, this foolishness, this talk about you ain't got no faith if you using, I'm telling you, they're foolish because God created the doctors, the metal pharmaceutical companies. He created all of that so that you and I could live.
Yeah.
By the way, there are 7 generations living on the earth today. No time in history prior to today did that ever exist. How is that available today? Through technology and longer life. That's how it is possible. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he brought salvation, brought healing in place. Salvation brought illumination. In other words, the light came on. The minds of people, what we can create, how we can think, what we can do is now possible. I am so excited about Harvest Christian Academy and Harvest Child and Youth Development Center. You said, why? And then you said, well, aren't you just excited about faith? I am, but there's something different about the school. Because what he said was, he said, these little ones. And he took some personal emphasis on the children, and the human children, and then he did over the human adult, right? So I believe that God is going to use and do something and develop some child, some student, maybe a whole lot of, maybe a whole class. I don't know. All I know is I want to be in a position to do my job, to help raise them up, to educate them, but also develop their relationship with God. So I need education and a spiritual connection and a relationship with God so that God can do what he needs to do. Through them, to them, and by them. Somebody shout hallelujah. So this is my desire, and it is also my belief that he's going to do this. So, against all odds, we exist. I need y'all praying. I need you praying. So why do we need to pray? I need us praying to get God's will. And I believe it's already done. But I need it to be fulfilled more sooner than later. Because none of y'all know the pressures that I go to sleep with at night concerned with what I believe in God for. But what they told me, I heard there's power in unity. So I'm asking y'all to unify with me that God's going to fulfill his destiny in this place and with these children and with this school, that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. I want them to receive his grace and truth. Oh, y'all, that's it. I want that gift to be bestowed upon all of them and all of us. Glory to God. We're just another part of it. And so, you know, it's not an accident that God's working on us, working with us, amen, and doing some things in it. And so he said, illumination, the light's going to come on. They have the ability. How many know that each generation already has what the previous generation kind of, you know, what we've gone through? We can kind of talk about that, explain that, and that becomes secondary. But then they venture into a whole nother. So this is called progression of time, but it's also of relationship, of knowledge. And by the way, I pray in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, I ask God to grant me the spirit of wisdom. I'm not asking for man's wisdom. I'm asking for God's wisdom. Revelation. I need revelation on who he is in the world I live in. Amen. And how to operate within it. And knowledge of him. Because if I know him, then I will know how to deal with all of what is around me. I'm trying to help you out here. This is what the gift, the one, will do for you. Having a knowledge of who he is will give you the strength and the ability to deal with the light we call it. Because he is the light that tries to will dispel darkness that tries to come on you. That means all those areas. And he said, remember I talked to you all about the shadow, right? He says, though I walk through the valley of death, he says, it's a shadow of death. So the fear of death is what he always presents to us to cause you to want to stop or not fulfill your destiny. Y'all know he poses himself as the king of the jungle called the lion. But this is a lion that has no teeth. The lion with no teeth is not a danger to me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. So illumination could occur. And listen. And then he said, mercy and grace, joy and love, freedom. You know how many people whose joy has been stolen? How many peace has been stolen? I had to shake it off last month, trying to just come over me. Because all of a sudden, all the cares of this world, all the cares that come, all of that was consuming my day. And I started to think, is God still God or what? And then at the point that, God, well, you called me to this. And you told me to come to this place. And you told him, but he, you know, and now with the instructions come too. Are you willing to do what he said when he said what to do? And I said, that part I said, did I miss something? Because if I didn't, show me so I can get it right. You see, so I'm repenting if I miss something, God, show me so I can get it right. But you know, a whole lot of people, and a whole lot of they want to make their judgment, and they say stuff, they don't even know what they're talking about. Y'all had no problem talking about it. You making statements, you have no, listen, if you all make a statement, at least let it be factual with evidence. So that annoys me, right? Because now I got, not only do I got to deal with the attack of the enemy, now I got to deal with the people that's supposed to be believing, and some of them supposed to be helping me, is making stupid statements. Somebody shout out. Am I in the right place? Can I just be real? I'm just trying to be real. This is me. I'm not putting on. This is who I am. Right? And I'm expecting, because I'm hoping at the end of the day, the one came for all of us. Not only me, for you as well. Okay? My title and position means absolutely nothing to him. He said I'm not a respected person. So listen, he loves you just as much as he loves me. You just as powerful as I am. You could speak into somebody's life or demonstrate and illustrate in front of them what it should look like, and they see it and they become it, and you've done your job. Okay? I believe that's one of the things he got really working on you in your spirit. I'm so glad to see you here this morning, because God's doing something in your life, and you know it, and I know it. You've got confirmation. Okay, but we're here because God's operating in a season, because he wants us to understand what the one is full of grace and truth. Now I gotta tell you, all of us need grace because all of us were born into sin. That's what makes the gift so good. But don't say small-minded to greasy grace, because grace exists, I'll just keep sliding. The hope I get in, right? I don't want you to slide in. I want to walk in.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I want to walk in. I do not want to slide in. You know, in baseball, when you get to the next base, it's safe. Right? Sometimes it's not enough time. They got to slide in. And hopefully they make it. But you don't want to get there and the umpire said, then you gotta leave. Oh, they call the place, you gotta hand back to the dugout. The dugout is underneath. I'm gonna leave that alone. So I share with you, salvation brought joy and love and freedom. And most of all, resurrection. Now I want to help y'all here, because y'all thought resurrection only applied, and I'm done. I'm going to end with this. But y'all thought resurrection only applied to Jesus Christ. Yep, in 3 days, Jesus was rose. He had to die, but he arose again. But I want to talk to you about something when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said that the old man has passed away, and the new man come forth. I want to tell you, that is a form of resurrection. I am not who I used to be. Hello. Because a new guy arose. And out of that, so resurrection, that gift applies to you and I. Salvation brought resurrection into play. Now, Jesus, everything that I just mentioned to y'all, he was walking in when he was here on the earth. The one piece that he had not experienced was the resurrection. So he had to face death for you and I. And facing death and hanging on the cross. And I love to think that he was in the cross in the middle and in between. So we talked about, so he was born, But his genealogy didn't start when he was born, because he was here before the earth was ever even formed. So he has no beginning and he has no end. And he says, listen, so he's on the cross and he's between two thieves. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Y'all say, why two thieves? Everybody sinned and falls short of the glory of God. So he's using a metaphor and an example of two thieves. But there is a big difference in the two thieves. There's one thief that says, hey, you don't deserve this. You shouldn't be here. We know who you are. And that's called belief. That's called faith. Okay, he understood who he was. How he did that, I don't know. He knew who he was. And so God says to him, today. When? Today. So I want to help y'all. Faith is when?
Now.
Say it again.
Now.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. The moment he believed, now took place. Now was in effect. Right? But the other thief on the other side said, hey, homie, we in this thing together. You hanging there just like me. Look, help us. If you all of that, and you would, he wants to now use his power to get us down from here. Not repent. So he didn't understand. So he wants to walk away and continue to do what he's always done to get the results of what he's always been. Oh, y'all not hearing me? Because nothing changes when you change nothing. When you do nothing. So you want to keep operating in what you always operate, then you shouldn't expect anything different. But the moment you receive the gift, the one, is the moment you unwrap it. And the moment you start allowing it to get into you, things can start to happen. Because now grace and truth can start to operate. It can take you to the places where you need to be. And so that's what I believe in God for. That we can walk in the grace. I'm not telling nobody you they're giving you since you're perfect, but I'm telling you, keep taking a step. Thank you for showing up here today. Thank you for being here. Grandparents are supporting this. Because now I need to know somebody got it. Okay, so not only just the children, but now I know this family member that got it. Right? So there's power in unity. There's power in our numbers. And so when we believe in something, he said, faith begins now. And so at that moment, and I wanted to share with you, he just showed me. So not only are we talking about his birth, but we have to talk about his death too, because he was born to die. Only to rise again for you and I. Resurrection was in play because salvation was spoken in the beginning. Somebody shout hallelujah. And because salvation existed, he now could walk in resurrection, yet he still had to go through it. You know, I struggled. I was like, God, why did he have to die? Why did he have to die? But had he not died, you got to remember something. It's illegal. So what happened is, you and I were born into sin. The enemy has a legal right over you and I. That's because of the principles of the universe. But where there's no sin, he has no right. And there's only one who knew no sin. And the one came for you and I. The one said, I'm going to make an exchange. He said, listen, give me your stuff. He took all our stuff and put it on. And he went to the cross for you and I.
Thank you, God.
And every burden, and every yoke, and every strife. So healing, every disease, every failure, every fault, all went to the cross with him that day. But you got a claim. Y'all know y'all heard of unclaimed freight? Like there's some stuff that belong to people that they ain't never even claimed. I found that one of the companies that was operating here in Delaware, because of Delaware laws, it was one of the companies people send money through. And they had millions of dollars of people that had died and never came to collect the money. And they held it up because the Delaware law allowed them to hold it. Now, by the way, they had enough sense. They couldn't spend it, but they still used it on the books. And I can tell you this, I guarantee you that they made profit from it. And just recently, 20 years later, they ruled that they got to disperse the money back to the heirs. 20 years later, billions of dollars. So I want to share with you, sometimes things take time. But God came for that. I want to just share with you, so you got to, but if you don't claim yours, you won't get it. Or somebody said, I got an inheritance. Yeah, if I got an inheritance, but you won't show up, and you don't claim it. We dealing with one of our saints here who passed away. And she left us up, and she left us elder responsible for her will. But she sent it to her siblings. And she elder sent the stuff to her information to the sister, the one of the sisters in England. And the sister said, I don't want nothing to do with it. Which means she disowned her heirship. She gave up her rights. How many people are giving up their rights to walk with Christ and to be blessed by the Lord, to be blessed by the King of Kings, and not to walk with to healing, joy, freedom, peace, love, forgiveness? All of this is available in the gift. I hope this Christmas and this holiday season, you'll unwrap this gift and you'll allow it to take effect. No, don't just open another gift and put it over there. Don't be that child that I used to be at 10 years old. Yeah. Opened all the gifts and then say, is that all? But didn't play with the ones I had.
Jesus.
But take this gift and internalize it. And allow it to become a part of your life. Allow it to change your life. This is the greatest gift of all. I came to preach Jesus this morning. I came to preach Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. I came to preach that gift in this season, no matter what are the heartaches and the hardships and the people we miss that may not be here with us. But if you're still here, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. My question is, what are you going to do with it? So today, if you'll unwrap the gift, and you'll allow the gift to be a part of your life. That is what my hope is, that you will shine with what God has given you. Keeping this word and realizing that the word is more important than anything else. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. The word. He is the one. He's the one. And so, y'all remember, in the matrix, he's fighting, and then the enemy kills him. And then all of a sudden, he's re-energized, and he's back. The metaphor is the movie is not real, but Jesus is. And isn't it amazing that we'll make Hollywood, we'll make a movie, we won't put Christ in it that way, but we'll put all on these other things. But the whole story is about the one. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we got the one. We got the right one, too. And by the way, there's only one. Okay. The question is, do you know his name? His name is Jesus. And I would invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life right now. In fact, if you're here, I want every eye closed, every head bowed. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're watching, every head, right now, where you are, in your living room, in your bedroom, right now, you can receive Christ where you are. That's the great thing about who he is. He'll meet you where you are. And so today, I